As you heard a few minutes ago, South Dakota lawmakers passed a $4.3 billion budget late Friday night. Despite lower than expected revenue projections, the budget provides for increases in Medicaid reimbursements, state employee salaries, and education funding. Lawmakers also passed a bill that increases funding for roads and bridges. It raises the gas tax by 6 cents, also raises license fees and license plate fees by 20%. Lawmakers returned to Pier on Monday, March 30th to consider any gubernatorial vetoes. Tomorrow, we'll get a Republican perspective of the 2015 session, but joining the program today is Senate Minority Leader Billy Sutton. And Senator Sutton, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Well, did the 2014 session go as you thought it might? I know we spoke about a month or so before the session began. I'm wondering if things kind of worked out the way you thought?
Yeah, in some areas it did. Juvenile justice reform was a big area that we wanted to see that bill get passed, and it flew through. I mean, there was a lot of reasons why we needed juvenile justice reform, and those were all brought to light, and Senate Bill 73 passed and was signed by the governor. So that was a big one, in my opinion, that worked out the way it was supposed to. You know, the Senate Bill 1, the roads and bridges, I knew that something would pass. I had some disagreements with the form that it passed in. I think we could have done a little bit better in the policies that we're sending out there. There's some pretty extensive tax hikes that are coming along with this, and I was a little bit frustrated in that process and was hopeful that we could work out some of the differences between the House and the Senate, but in my opinion, that didn't happen. We didn't address teacher pay this session. Now, education got a 2% increase, but we're past the point of concern, in my opinion, with the teacher shortage in South Dakota and addressing teacher pay. Hopeful that this summer the governor's Blue Ribbon Task Force will come up with solutions for that. And the bottom line is we're going to need more money for teacher pay. You know, we raised the money this year for roads and bridges, and I would hope that we put that much of a priority on teacher pay as well. And then last but not least, be Medicaid expansion. That was something that we were focused on going into the session, and it hasn't happened yet. There are conversations going on about Medicaid expansion and trying to work through some of those, but still have not expanded Medicaid yet, but I am hopeful that's going to happen in the near future.
In regards to Medicaid expansion, that's been an issue Democrats have been interested in over the past couple of sessions. What happened this year? Did it just not get to a point where it would be discussed in a bill or a measure?
Well, there wasn't. You know, originally we brought a couple vehicle bills to expand Medicaid, but as we are in talks with the governor's office and providers, kind of working to hammer out some details and figure out, you know, how to pay for it and maybe making some changes to the current Medicaid program and things like that, we simply wanted to continue those conversations with the administration and the providers, and that's what we're doing and we'll continue to do throughout the summer in hopes that we can come to some solutions on how to pay for Medicaid expansion, because really that's the issue that's holding us up is how you pay for it. Now, I would argue that the economic impact of expansion, it's going to pay for itself. There's a study that shows that from two individuals out of the University of Nebraska, two economists, that show that if we were to accept these federal dollars, the economic impact of that would actually pay for expansion and gain money to our state coffers. But there are folks on the other side of the aisle that you know, maybe disagree with that, and there's two sides to every story. But I'm hopeful that we can figure out reasonable solutions on how to pay for it, and then we can move forward, because that's really what's holding it up right now.
Now, Senator Sutton, you mentioned your frustration with the education issues, teacher pay, teacher shortage. What happens next from your perspective regarding those issues? Do you think that the state will reach a point where like with the transportation, that it looked like the roads were at that point where something had to be done, even if that meant raising taxes, you know, with regard to teacher pay, teacher shortage. Do you think those issues will reach a certain, I guess you'd call it a breaking point?
Well, yeah, I think we're pretty close to that. There's over 1,000 teachers in South Dakota ready to retire. There's only 770-some that are seniors and are in our universities right now in education programs. There's no guarantee that even half of those stay in South Dakota. The next year after that's even more disturbing, where there's only 500 students in our regental system that are looking to go into teaching. And again, when you can cross a state line and make anywhere from $8,000 to $18,000 more in average teacher pay, that is a real problem. And we're already seeing it from schools that can't get applicants for positions. We heard about the high number of openings that were left throughout the summer during this last summer. And I think we're at that point. We're at a breaking point, and I'll be very disappointed if we don't come with some solutions from this Blue Ribbon Task Force, because that was what we were told was going to address education needs, and that's probably why it didn't get a lot of discussion after the Blue Ribbon Task Force was announced, because that's supposed to be the solution to figuring this out. And frankly, if it doesn't happen, if we don't address teacher pay at a legislative level, I can promise you there will be something on the ballot that will address it. And that will be what we'll be forced to do if we can't come up with solutions at a legislative level.
Now, in looking at the final budget that was passed last Friday, how difficult was it to come up with a final agreement, given that there were the lower-than-expected revenue projections?
Well, the Appropriations Committee worked really hard, and I give them a lot of credit. You know, they found some increased savings in Medicaid, both in fiscal year 15 and in fiscal year 16's budget, which made up for a big chunk of the shortage in revenue. So our revenues were down and soft, but our expenditures were also down as well, which helped make up the difference. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm thrilled that we were able to keep 2% for education. I'm thrilled that we were able to give 2.5% to, you know, our most high-need medical providers that provide Medicaid to our South Dakota citizens. And so I voted for the budget. I'm happy with most parts of it. You know, I do wish that we could would add money to look at freezing tuition for students at our universities. I wish that we'd have had more dollars available to put into scholarship programs like the needs-based scholarship and the critical teaching needs scholarship. We know the cost of higher education is continuing to increase at a pretty rapid rate, and we have to do things to make it more affordable for our kids to get a good education.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Senate Minority Leader Billy Sutton, a Democrat, talking about the 2015 session. And coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with Senator Tim Rave, the Senate Majority Leader, to get the Republican perspective on what happened during the session. When we look at, again, that transportation bill, you're dealing with raising taxes and fees. There was a lot of debate under, with that bill. I'm wondering if it's, as a legislator, as a lawmaker, if it's always tough considering bills that raise taxes and fees.
Sure it is. I mean, nobody wants to pay more taxes. I mean, that's just a reality. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican or an independent. It doesn't matter. I mean, not many people want to pay more taxes unless you can prove that there's a need. And I think that Senator Valley made it clear that there is a need from their summer work group, and the governor used a lot of those same numbers in his presentation back in December during the budget address. And I think that we've proven there's a need, especially, in my opinion, when it comes to, you know, county and township roads, which was one of my frustrations in this legislation, is that it seemed to heavily favor state roads, which are actually right now in pretty good shape. And so I wanted to see this bill go back to conference committee and work out some of the details, because this is a significant tax increase, and I think if we're going to do it, we need to do it right. And I just felt that this was not the correct proposal. I mean, there's a 20% increase in license plate fees is very significant. You know, a 6% one-time increase in the motor fuel tax, that's significant. And the 1% increase in motor vehicle excise taxes is a very big issue. But probably one of the bigger issues of this bill was the tiered property tax option, which I feel is going to create some inequity from county to county and what they can raise for roads and bridges at the property tax level.
Do you think there will be future legislation that will address the problems that you see with not getting the funding, not getting the attention with the county and local roads?
Yeah, I think there will be. You know, I'd like to see, I personally would like to see some of the excise tax go to the local level. You know, one of the frustrating things about this bill is it seems that it is more of a property tax focus and not a user-based focus. And when you look at your county roads, it's not just your locals that drive on those. It's tourists. It's people from all over South Dakota that are driving on your roads, but there's not much state support to help counties out with their roads. Now, in fairness, there is money going into the local bridge funds that are state dollars, which I think that's going to be anywhere from $8 to $10 million a year from the state going into the local bridge fund. But counties are having to raise all their own funds to pay for their own roads. And the state seems to be getting the biggest benefit, receiving all of the motor fuel tax increase and all of the vehicle excise tax increase, which in year one is going to amount to, you know, over $70 million for the state.
In looking at the past few months of the 2015 session, what do you think the mood was? Was it fairly congenial? Were lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, open to compromise to get things done?
Yeah, I think that it was fairly, you know, we worked fairly well together. There it seemed to be a little bit more dysfunction between the House and the Senate this year than in prior years, and I don't know what the reason for that is, with the exception that I think we need a more balanced legislature. You know, I'd like to think that I'd say that if I was a Republican, because our system only works when you have a strong two-party system, and right now in South Dakota that is just not the case. And you know, it can be a very frustrating thing, because I've had conversations with the governor's office where we've met and they've requested that we help them, you know, do away with bad bills that are coming from, you know, House members on the Republican side that we as Democrats are working with the governor's office to kill. And we're more than glad to do that, because we want good policy. But that speaks to me that there may be a bit of a problem with having such a lopsided majority in South Dakota.
Now, this was your first session as minority leader. You've been assistant minority leader. I'm wondering how the experience was being this past session the minority leader.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Yeah. I had such a great team. I couldn't have asked for a better group of senators in our Democrat caucus. I mean, when you have guys like supporting you, like Jason Furyk and Bernie Hunoff, who have both been leaders. You know, you have Jim Peterson, who is just an incredible knowledge in property tax. You have Scott Parsley, who is second to none in his knowledge of South Dakota. And then you have Senator Jim Bradford from, you know, the new Ogallala Lakota County. and his knowledge of our state is great. You have Angie Buell O'Donnell, who represents there in Sioux Falls, and she does a great job. And then obviously my assistant leader, Troy Heinert, who brings a whole different perspective, being a Native American and being the legislator at the same time. And so I couldn't have asked for a better team to work with, and they made it fun for me. And also the people on the other side of the aisle made it fun for me. I have a very good work relationship with, the majority leader, Tim Rave, and as well with Senator Cory Brown, who's president pro tem. And so we got along very well. Obviously, we had some disagreements on certain issues, but at the end of the day, we worked through it, and we got it done. And in a very short amount of time, I might add, we have a maximum of 40 days each year, and we get a lot of work done for South Dakotans in that short amount of time.
So what is the work that you do, Senator Sutton, as Minority Leader, during the months, the rest of the year, when the legislature isn't in session?
Well, that'll be a lot of summer studies and task forces and, working through a lot of those big issues that we were talking about earlier, whether that's Medicaid expansion or the Blue Ribbon Task Force, or coming up with ideas on how we can maybe make some tweaks to this road bill that we can bring back during the next session. Also I'll be serving on the executive board, the e-board for the legislature. And so, a lot of people think that when the legislature gets done that your job's done, but that's far from the truth. It's kind of a part-time job that becomes a full-time job. And so it's a tough thing balancing, leadership in the legislature and working full-time when I'm not in the legislature.
Do you expect lawmakers will be back later this month to consider any gubernatorial vetoes?
I don't know if governor's going to veto anything or not. We will have to come back and close out the session regardless of whether there's a veto or not. But to my knowledge, I don't know of anything that he's considering vetoing. But, there was some rumors around that he was considering vetoing the teen minimum wage. But I guess we'll just wait and see, and I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
All right. Well, Senator Sutton, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.